Well, I want to get right into the message. I know maybe for us here it's a little easier maybe to pay attention. At home you got things going on, but I pray you're able just to sit down, pull up to put it on your TV so it'll be larger, and get your notes, get your Bible, and let's go to work right now. I want us to eat from the Lord's table.
Amen.
Wonderful Jesus, thank you for this night. Lord, I thank you for those in this room right now and those that are away, those that are at home and may be sick in their body. We pray for Rick Cooper, Linda's brother, Lord, having a problem. I'm sure he's there in Arizona, maybe possibly watching this from the hospital room. Rick, we send blessings and prayer to you. May healing subside over your kidneys and potassium level this night in Jesus' name. And so, Lord, comfort those that may have coronavirus tonight. May you pull them out of that and drive that thing out. In Jesus' name, we agree together. So, Father, meet me here tonight. Meet us here tonight as we divide your word. May it be rightly divided. May we eat from the table of life in Jesus' name. Amen? Okay. How many did see my devotional this morning? How many are looking at that? Thank you guys for that. I appreciate it. And I pray that it's a blessing to you. We're getting a little attention on it. And so I pray you're enjoying it too at home. But I'm going to continue a little bit because God began to deal with me in the night about that. I just briefly mentioned on Sunday morning. I just said, beware of the devil and the confusion that he's trying to bring into families, into homes, into churches, you know, and just people. I mean, right now it's just a time of confusion. As a great song wrote one time, it's in a time of confusion, in a time of despair, there's only one answer, and he'll soon be here.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So never forgotten that song. So tonight, I'm just going to call this message Confusion or Peace. It's your choice. Whatever you want.
Yeah.
You can join the world in confusion or we can have peace. But if you do not want confusion lurking around your mind and your heart and stirring you all up and getting you all worked up and all stressed out and all concerned, I mean, it doesn't have to be about what's going on in the earth right now. It could be finances or your children or it could be anything. But if you don't want it bothering you, you cannot embrace it. You reject it when it comes. You're either going to reject it or you're going to embrace it. And you say, how do I embrace it? Well, you just keep entertaining it. And you just keep thinking on it, thinking on it. Pretty soon this thing's gotten so big, it's gone crazy on you. Now, you can do the same with God's peace. We can either embrace God's peace or we can reject it. And to reject the peace of God is really a big deal. It destroys people. It's torn up homes. It's torn up churches. I mean, it's destroyed marriages to reject the peace of God and what he has called us to. I left my message Bible at home. Could somebody pull up the message version real quick on Acts 19 and verse 30? Acts 19 and 30. I just wanted to read that to you out of the message translation. And for those of you that get offended at that, please just listen to it for a minute, okay? I'm going to be coming out of the New King James here in a moment, as usual. But the reason I wanted to go to Acts 19 is because the church was under attack here, and so was the nation. Do you have that, Lendl? Somebody got it for me? Let me have that here real quick. And it was so much like what's going on right now. Let me read this to you. You can write the verses down so you can take a look at it later on in your own Bible or your favorite translation at home. Acts 19, we'll start at verse 30. But I need to read 5 or 6 verses. All right, so humor me. I'm right here. Paul wanted to go into the assembly. That means into the church. Paul wanted to go into the assembly, but the disciples would not let him. Now, that was the disciples. And today, a lot of the churches are saying, stay out of the church. Even some of the Officials who were his friends sent word to him and repeatedly warned him not to venture into the amphitheater. Now, some shouted one thing and some another, for the gathering was in confusion. And most of the people did not know why they had even come together. Some of the crowd advised Alexander to speak, since the Jews had pushed him forward, and Alexander motioned with his hand for attention and intended to make a defense to the people. But when they realized that he was a Jew, a single outcry went up from the crowd as they shouted for about 2 hours, "Great is Artemis of Ephesians, of the Ephesians." After the clerk had quieted the crowd, he said, "Men of Ephesus," now I want you to hear this. There was great confusion. These people had begun to worship other gods, Artemis. And then this clerk stands up. At first they brought one of their own people, Alexander, out. He put his hand up and said, "Hey, you guys, settle down, settle down." He was trying to settle them all. And that didn't work. They shouted him down for about 2 hours. So finally you've got this clerk. It kind of cracks me up here. But anyway, where was I? So after the town clerk had quieted the crowd, he said, "Men of Ephesus, please listen to this. What person is there who does not know that the city of the Ephesians is the guardian of the temple of the great Artemis and of that sacred stone image of her which fell from the sky? So since these things cannot be denied, you ought to be quiet and stay calm and not do anything rash. For you have brought these men here who neither temple, they're not temple robbers or blasphemers or our goddess, blasphemers of our goddess. So then if Demetrius and the craftsmen who are with him have a complaint against anyone, the courts are in session, let them be available. Let them bring charges against one another. But if you want anything beyond this, it'll be settled by the lawful assembly. For we are running the risk of being accused of rioting in regard to today's events. And since there is no reason for it, we'll be unable to give an account and justify this disorderly gathering." And when he had said these things, he dismissed the assembly. And then it goes on to say, after everything settled down, Paul and the guys left and went on with their work and did a mighty work for God. Okay, so what this guy is saying is, look, you guys, you've got all this confusion going on. And now you're really mad at God's people here. And you're saying, you know, they're blasphemers. And he said, you all know good and well they've not even blasphemed our Artemis, our great God that fell from the heavens. Now, it's not a big deal. The clerk is saying, you don't have to convince people that we are a city of a false God. So leave all that alone. They all know it. And I want to tell you today, you know, America has always been a mighty godly nation, and we prize ourselves on her being a righteous nation. But now it's starting to look like something else. And all these strange gods are being worshipped and all kinds of things. And it even mentioned here the rioters. I mean, they're calling us bad people. They don't want us to come to church, and they don't want us to sing. They don't want us to have church inside. A lot of people are doing it outside. The poor restaurant owners eating outside to eat. I mean, serving people outside. So the whole thing is just confusing and crazy. And it's not only the world that's confused, but the church is confused. And when I first started reading this, it said some of the people didn't even know why they were in the assembly. It said one thing and somebody else said another. And so I just said all that to say, everything that we're going through, you know, I mean, there isn't one thing that you can go through that you won't find recorded in the Word of God. I mean, that was just so much like America, but I don't want to spend a lot of time on that tonight. I'm just saying this thing isn't here to stay. Amen? Yeah. It's just not going to stay. And our clerk is not the clerk that stood up and said, "Hey, you guys, hold your peace. Can't you see? I mean, everybody knows who we are. We know there's evil in the world. We know that there's wickedness. Leave them alone." And I think God's getting ready to step out and say, enough. That's it. And when God says that, it's over. Let there be light. And so we're going to move on now. But I do want you to write down, don't turn over here yet, because I want you to go to two places tonight. But Psalms 22, verse 5, I want you to see what our fathers did and the great men and women of God did when they were confounded and when they were confused. Psalms 22, 5 simply says, our fathers cried out to God and trusted him, and they were not confounded. So if you don't want to be confused, cry out to our God and say, God, what is this? Okay, what are we going to do? That's what I've had to do constantly about the church and whenever we meet together almost every week, because everything changes from day to day. I don't know how these people are running the hospitals and the restaurants unless they're having a great deal of prayer from somebody covering them in Jesus' name. Well, okay, if you want to look at 1 Corinthians 14:33, go there. You can turn your Bibles there, but I think you all pretty much know what it says. But at least write it down so you will have it for our word tonight. 1 Corinthians 14:33, you're so familiar with it. It says, for our God, for God is not the author of
confusion.
But of peace. And I love this part. He didn't have to add this, but he did. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as is all the churches of the saints.
Amen.
He's the author of peace.
Yes, Lord.
And here it's saying, where do you get the peace? It's just like it is with the church of the saints. Now, I was so proud of my brother-in-law, Doyle, who is a very, very young pastor, just started to pastor a church. And there was a man that wasn't coming to church. And, you know, a few people have not come back yet in all of our churches. And so, I've said this, and many are saying this. You've said it, so we're not guilty. We've all said it. We are the church. We know that. And so my brother-in-law was saying, look, I miss you guys. When are you going to come back? None of us have it. And the man says, we are the church. I am the church. That building is not the church. I'm the church. And you know what Doyle said? With all common sense, I mean just good old common sense, he said, I know we're the church. I know. I used to sound like this clerk. I know I'm the church, and you know you're the church. We know that. But the people on the outside, the world, they don't know we're the church. In fact, they look at us sometimes and call us all kinds of things, but the church. Mm-hmm. When they think of a church, they think of that building over there. When they drive down Olive Street, whether it's Landmark or Port Naz, that big old glass beautiful building, or our building that looks like a barn, or whether it's a little Baptist church down the street or out on the highway, it doesn't matter. When the world sees it, and when you and I see it, we know it's God's house. It's the church. There's no confusion about that. So we've got to remember, I don't know if you guys know this or recognized it, but Sunday morning, we had a lot of visitors in the house. Now, I shouldn't say a lot, not a lot, but we had a few visitors that had run in out of the world looking for help. And I got a private message this morning from a girl that doesn't go to church anywhere, and she was reaching out, do you have anything for the children yet? You know, they're reaching and calling for prayer, and I'm real thankful for that. So don't underestimate the building, okay, because it's very important. It is God's house. So God said, or Paul said, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. He is the author of peace, as is all the churches of the saints. That's us. We're the saints. Oh, no, it's just not the saints that died and went on. Don't be so, have such false humility, or maybe real humility, that says, oh, no, I'm not a saint. Yes, you are. If you are the righteousness of God and he lives within you,
yeah,
you are a saint. That's what the Bible says. He calls us that. So we either are going to reject confusion, or we're going to just take it on into our mind, into our heart, or we're going to reject God's peace and push it away, or we're going to bring it in, as in all the churches.
Yes.
One or the other, but we're not going to do both, church. We're just not going to do both. But I'll tell you this, we can go wherever this word takes us.
Yes, Lord.
Now, if God says, I am the author of peace, and he tells us, I have a future for you, then we will follow this word. This word is our guide. We can follow it. Hallelujah. And we can go wherever that word leads us. And this word will take us somewhere, church. Let me tell you something. This word is taking us somewhere right now. Isn't it wonderful that God chose you and me to be at this time on earth in this generation? To see this changing of the guard and this new order of the church and this deep church and the glory of God that's coming upon us. I just couldn't be more thankful to see it all unfolding. To see that it's way past the knowledge of the theologians and the knowledge of the church leaders and the knowledge of the great mega church pastors and the knowledge of the great intellectual teachers and educators and scientists. It's way beyond any of them. None of them have any answers. Who ever thought that we would live in such a time? And yet, we consult, as our fathers did, the God of the universe, who says, I gave you my son's mind. You have the mind of Christ. It's like, oh God, may we, Lord, have a revelation of having your mind. Now, I've got to take you somewhere else. Please turn over to the book of James, because I want you to see this. Again, you're very familiar with this portion of scripture. But the reason I love the book of James. I love Matthew, Mark, Luke, and James. I mean, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and the book of Acts. But when you get to James, James said things different than Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He just said it different. And you know why I think he did? Because he was Jesus' half-brother. They just had a different father. But they grew up in the same house together, probably played hide-and-go-seek together, whatever they played. But James says everything a little different than the apostles did. So let's look at James 3:16. James 3:16 and 17. This is so important. This would save a lot of marriages. It would save a lot of problems in life if we just grabbed a hold of this and kept it. James 3:16, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So the old King James says, where there's envy and strife, this says self-seeking, the new King James. The old says, where envy and strife is, there is confusion. They both use that same word. Confusion and every evil work. Now listen. If you get envy in your home or strife and you start fussing over the smallest of little things, how many of you, well, I won't ask you to raise your hand, but you married people, I remember it. You can get involved in this little disagreement, and while you're having it, it's like the biggest thing in the whole world. And by the week later, a week later, you look back and you're like, what were we upset about? And you can't even remember what it was. You don't even know. Because it was just some tiny little thing, but the devil came in. Why? Because there was strife. And where there is strife, it's just like, say, opening up the door and say, come on in, devil, and stir things up around here.
Right.
Where there's envy and strife, there will be. He didn't even say maybe, but he said there will be confusion and every evil thing there. So it's a very scary thing to let confusion play around in the house. Let it play around in your mind and in your heart, because it'll do great damage to you. So the only source, church, I'm just telling you, the only source that we have in this life at any time, not just today, but any time, is this right here. It's the only true source. No. There is nothing else but this. Now, I thank God for ministers, but please be careful who you listen to on Facebook and online today. I'm telling you, people, there are so many preachers out there. So many are saying, thus saith the Lord. So many are saying, I had a dream. So many are saying, this is what's going to happen. And there's so many false prophets. And there's so many wolves in sheep's clothing. And I'm saying, we got to be careful, you guys. You don't know those men. You don't know those women. Now, some of them we know of, and they have reputation. But I'm saying, don't be careful about getting off and really, really going to heart with somebody you don't know, because that's a dangerous thing.
So true.
Now, I'll say this. The closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the more demons and the more struggles and the more mess is going to come on the earth.
Yeah.
And those of you that's read through the Old Testament, I'll tell you right now, you didn't see any demon possession in the Old Testament. You just didn't see it. You didn't see incidents of the devils acting up and messing around. That did not happen until Jesus showed up.
Yeah.
And when Jesus showed up, I mean, they came out screaming. He pulled the covers back on them. He exposed them. And they came out of their hiding places. And when Jesus got baptized in the Jordan, the Father said, oh, that's my Son in whom I am well pleased. And it was not, I don't know, a very short time that the devil showed up. And he says, if you were the Son of God, he heard the Father's voice. Everybody out there heard the Father's voice. So there was no if about it. So he tried to bring confusion to Jesus, but Jesus rejected it with what? This, that was it. And he rejected it. He did not embrace it. And so he didn't have every evil work. But he came back again and again and again. So then you see that they were all through Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the book of Acts. Those demons were acting up. They were going crazy. I mean, the Bible says they would be thrown into the fire. Those demons would throw them, possess them. And it was terrible. And then after Jesus went away, you notice the tormentor came after the apostles a little bit. But by the time you get to the epistles, you didn't see no more devils. You didn't see them messing around. Because Jesus was gone. And the church didn't have the power at one time she had. So it's been a little quiet with them for a while. But have you noticed how they're starting to act up again? Why? Because Jesus is coming. And they're getting all worked up. Because they know their time is short and they don't like it one bit. So I think I'm going to stop right here. Besides that, my iPad went off, but I just wanted to make sure that I brought everything that I wanted to. But let me just remind you that whenever you feel confusion in your heart or in your mind, things just are strange, and we're getting a lot of that. You know, it comes to me too, but I reject it quickly. Man, I don't want it to set up in me, because it'll take us down. It'll get you so messed up. Listen, you cannot give it 5 minutes. And be careful who you're running with. If you're running with somebody who doesn't know God, I'm telling you, you better watch out, because they don't know him, and they're going to buy into all this, and pretty soon, because they're not in the church of the living God, pretty soon they're going to be putting all that mess on you. Try to fill your mind with it. No, we're not hopeless. But I'll tell you what, as long as you've got them in your possession, you feed them full of the Holy Ghost. You feed them full of the peace of God. Though they don't have it, they can have it. Stand with me tonight, would you? So let the peace of God take us to places that we just never dreamed that we could go. Oh, hallelujah. Bless the Lord. I'm so glad you guys join us at home. I don't know who's watching tonight. You may be saying, Pastor Paulette, there's such a mess in my house. You would not believe it if I told you. Yes, I would. We've all been there, done that. You say, you don't know what's going on in my marriage or my kids in my house and what they're doing. Well, it's confusion. And somewhere you've opened the door and said, come on in, devil. And so I'll tell you what to do. If you guys have anything in your house, if you've got bad movies, you got R-rated movies, R is an old-fashioned word now, you got pornography on the screen, you better ditch that thing real quick. Because you're talking about confusion, you better throw it out, get it out. I don't care if you've got to throw that iPad or your laptop out, get rid of it. It's not worth it. I don't care what it's going to take. If your kids are starting to act strange, you've got to go into their TV and see what games they're playing. What games are they playing? What kind of movies are in their library? What kind of games have they brought into your home that's causing... People will call us and say, can you come over and pray and anoint my house? We're seeing shadows and we're having demonic activity. And then I start questioning, well, what's in your house? Is anyone in there smoking weed? Is anyone in there taking drugs? Is anyone abusing prescription pills? Is anyone, you've got bad movies. You're going to the wrong movies. You know, you say, oh, that's old fashioned. No, the Bible told us in Hebrews that the wisdom of God and the grace of God would be our teacher to teach us how to live holy lives and live soberly and to live righteous. So he has sent us a helper and he has sent peace to the church. I'm glad you all are here tonight. I'm glad you're here. And so tonight we're going to pray for you right now. And I want to ask you, is there anyone here tonight that just says, Pastor, I've been, confusion's been trying to set up in my mind. Just lift your hand. I won't call you up. But just, yeah, I know. Anyone else? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we've all dealt with it somewhere in these past few months. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, and I speak to you at home, too, or wherever you're watching this, maybe in your car. Yes. Father, in the name of Jesus, draw your people by your Spirit. Yes. This is an evil time, and, Lord, darkness has tried to run into our homes. It's tried to come into the families. It's tried to come into the marriages, into the finances. But God, there is a rude awakening coming upon the world. A very rude awakening. They're going to feel like they have been smitten. But Lord, there's a major glorious awakening coming to your house, to your church, to your loved ones, to your family. So Lord, I pray that tonight that one that's watching or that one that says, I'm so confused, turn that confusion to Jesus right now. Just remember what our fathers did in the book of Psalms. It said they called on God, and he did not let them be confounded. Father, that brother, that sister, that young person that's all confounded right now, touch them now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that they will not be confounded, they will not be confused. Church, will you speak peace with me right now to the situations? We speak peace in Jesus' name. We speak peace to you, sir, to you, dear sister. We speak peace in Jesus' name. We say, let there be light. We have been translated out of darkness and into the light of the kingdom of your dear son, Father. And we cry grace, grace to you in Jesus' name. Now shut the door and come out in the name of the Lord. Amen. May peace reign. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord.